And we thank you for all of your prayers. Well, we're going to take a week off today from Revelation. We're almost to the end of Revelation now. We're on the last chapter, but we're taking a week off over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting with verse 1. And the title of our message this morning is Go and Sow. Go and Sow. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Let's bow in prayer once again. O Lord, open up thy word to us, speak to us out of thy word, we pray. And O Lord, help us to be the Christians that thou would have us to be, in Jesus' name, amen. So here we have Paul speaking here in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them that a lot of them are babes in Christ, and they haven't grown up in their Christian life. And the problem is most Christians today, and maybe through most of history, have been babes and not grown up. And a babe is someone that can only take milk, but somebody that's grown up can take meat. And here it says that they were babes because they were carnal, because they had divisions, envying, strife, fighting in the church. Everybody wanted to have their own way, and they were babes in Christ. And you know, the thing is, we have in our churches, we have a lot of people that are fat babies. They've been taking in and taking in, but they never give out. And we need to give out as well in our Christian life. Of course, Paul tells us in another place that how you graduate from being a babe to full grown in the faith is by reason of use. By using what we learn, we graduate. And so if we learn something out of the word today and we use it, then we grow that much more. We have to put in practice what we learn, that in order to grow to an adult in Christ. I heard a sermon down in North Carolina this last time I went down there, and his text was on babes and growing in the Lord, and his sermon was on guilt, and he was saying that we become grown up if we get rid of our guilt. Well, of course, we have to get rid of our guilt by confessing and forsaking our sin. But the big way to grow from being a babe to being grown up is to use what we learn. We have to go on. And of course, that's a problem I find with, you know, there's a lot of denominations in the world. People give that as an objection to Christianity, especially to Protestants, a lot of denominations. Of course, the Catholics give that as an objection. Of course, they neglect the fact that there have been lots of splits from the Catholics too. And that's where a lot of them have come from. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of different denominations, and I grew up in the Baptist church, and I talk about them some, and I'll talk about a little bit about them here today. But you know, one of their big problems is, one of their big strengths is that they're very zealous. They're very zealous, and they go out and preach the gospel. I was in a church a couple weeks ago, and they have a bus ministry. And bus ministries are kind of outdated these days, I think. Used to have a lot of it in the past. But anyway, that church still has bus ministry. It still has four or five buses that go around Delaware, and praise the Lord, they're very zealous. and they want to give out the gospel. They want to go and sow. That's good on their good side. But the trouble is with the Baptists is that they never get past salvation a lot of times. And you go to the church and every sermon is on salvation. And every sermon has at the end the invitation. And it's the same thing every time. And you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Let us go on to perfection. We need to go on. And that's how we're going to grow in the Lord, get around being babes, is that we go on to the other things of God's Word. And of course, it's good to preach on salvation, and it's good to emphasize that, and that's great, but we have to go on. And we have to use and practice what we learn. And we have to stay away from envying. Why do we envy people? We envy them because we think they have something more than what we have. And we want what they have. And so we envy them. We shouldn't be that way, always wanting to be first. And we, you know, being humble is putting other people ahead of ourselves. So here in the Corinthian church, they had envying, they had fighting, strifes, divisions. And then they had this party spirit. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. And going back to the denominations, you know, a lot of times when I go to Baptist churches, I say about that Baptist church, that's a Baptist church with a big B. Because it all revolves around Baptist. And I work with a lot of Baptists down in Brazil. And, you know, when you tell them that you're a Presbyterian, they kind of look at you strangely. And they sort of act like you're an alien. And they don't want too much to do with you. And see, that's too much having to do with denominations. And, you know, we're Presbyterians, and we're proud of it. But we recognize that the Baptists are brethren and that there are other brethren out there. And we don't want to have this party spirit, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. There are other Christians out there, even though we think we are more on the track. But you know, men have their faults. Apollos had his faults, Paul had his faults, and we can't follow men. We have to follow the Lord. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And then he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. And they're just ministers that God gave them that gift to minister. The Lord gave to every man. And sometimes pastors are lifted up too much. And sometimes they're not lifted up enough. Has to be a balance there. But a lot of times the pastor, he really encourages that being lifted up. And he's good at flattering the congregation. He's good at encouraging every lifting up of himself. And, you know, we don't want to focus on the man. We want to focus on the Lord. Well, that's sort of just for introduction here. Then we get to the main thing I want to look at today, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And you know, we need to be in the planting ministry as Christians. We need to be out there planting the gospel, planting it and watering it. And that's a gospel ministry that God has given to everyone. You know, there's the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And go and teach all nations. That's the Great Commission in all four of the Gospels in the beginning of the book of Acts. And it's very important. It's the last thing that Jesus said to the church, basically, before he went up to heaven, was to go out and give out the gospel. And we need to be involved in that, going out and giving out the gospel. Well, of course, Presbyterians have been known as the frozen chosen. And you know, the frozen chosen, the Baptists find fault with us, and they say, oh, don't you know those Presbyterians? They don't believe in evangelism, they believe in the elect, and so they don't go out and preach the gospel, they don't believe in it. But you know, we do believe in going out and preaching the gospel. And we should believe in it. That's what the Bible teaches. And we believe in Reformed doctrine. We believe in election. We believe in Calvinism. But we also believe in evangelism. We need to go out and give out the gospel. And, you know, God has a means to his ends. You know, God has elected somebody. But how does that elect person get saved? Well, God has also ordained the means that that person will be saved. And the means is that somebody is going to give him the gospel. How did we get saved? God gave us the gospel through other people. And we need to do that. We need to go out and give out the gospel. We need to be involved in that. Not every second of every day, but we need to be involved in it some. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I'm a firm believer in the scripture concept of line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you know, we need to give people a little bit at a time. That's how most people, I believe, come to the Lord. They come to the Lord a little bit at a time. They get a little bit more seed planted, a little bit more that they chew on. And that's how they come to the Lord. I have planted, Apollos watered. And we're going to talk a little bit today about tracts. Tracts. And this is a gospel seed right here. It's a gospel seed. And when you sow that seed, that's what you're doing. You're sowing the gospel seed. You're leaving tracts around. And it's been said about Christians, I think I've mentioned it here before, they should be like raccoons. They leave tracks wherever they go. And that's what we need to do, leave tracks wherever we go. And of course, we talk about that today, don't you know, today is a digital society. Don't you know today that everything's online and people do everything online. And if you want to use coupons in the local store, you got to have it on your smartphone, a lot of them, and everything has to be on the phone, everything has to be online. So isn't this kind of really old-fashioned, out-of-date, a printed-up hard copy tract? Well, you know, hard copies are useful for reaching people that aren't looking for something. You know, the only way somebody's going to see something online is if they're looking for it. And the only way they're going to get the gospel online is if they look up the gospel. They look up something, look up preaching, look up something like that. Well, you know, most people won't do that. But if they happen to find an interesting looking tract, or they're giving them an interesting looking tract that looks a little bit interesting, they'll open it up and take a look at it. And you know, that's the principle with advertising. You know, our mailbox still has a lot of advertising in it, hard copy advertising. And you know, all these businesses and stores and everything, don't they know that everything's online now? Well, they know that if people are not looking for their store, if they're not looking for their product, they might look into it a little bit if they have a hard copy in their mailbox or in their hand. So this gospel tract is line upon line, precept upon precept. Somebody here gave me a little book, Jack Chick, Biography of Jack Chick. And you know, it has some tributes to Jack Chick, and it tells a little bit about this finding tracts and getting tracts and how that works in people's hearts. These people wrote testimonies. And here's a couple of them. I found some Chick tracts in my attic as a kid and knew my need of Jesus. Now I place Chick publications, Chick tracts wherever I go. I take it as a mission. And he just found it in the attic. It happened to be laying there, and God worked through that. And then here's an interesting one. I remember as a young man hitchhiking. A man gave me a Chick tract. I did not get saved for several years, But that tract got me thinking pretty hard about things. And in fact, I used to see that as a good ministry in the past. I used to pick up hitchhikers back when there were hitchhikers. Used to pick them up. And of course, people always said, oh, don't you know that's dangerous? You're going to get a serial killer in their car or whatever. Well, I tried to take a look at them, and if they didn't look too bad on the surface, I'd pick them up and give them tracts and witness to them. You know, they were a captive audience, and they had to listen to everything I said. But anyway, the thing is, I would give them trust. It was good ministry. And here's a guy that said he got saved a little bit through that, that somebody picked him up, gave him a tract, and he thought about it for years, or thought about that along with other things. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Then here's another one. I can well remember the very first time I ever saw a chick tract. Somebody had left it on a bench, and I picked it up. The tract even had no words, but moved me deeply and caused me to think about eternal things, like where I would go when I died. A little less than a year later, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so I just found it on a bench, picked it up and read it. And the Lord worked through it in his heart. And one more here. I was a teenager when I first read This Was Your Life. It scared the Hades out of me. I never thought about anything like that before. So, of course, it got me to thinking about death and where I am going to go. So, anyways, it really opened up my eyes and my spiritual side to be saved and lived right. So there's a couple testimonies about it. But you know, tracts are the easiest way in the world to witness. We can witness to people without ever seeing them. And tracts are on duty 24 hours a day when you leave them places. And people can pick them up. And they're great. And they're a great way to witness. 24 hours a day, they're there on station, on duty. Well, I have planted verse 6, Apollos watered. And so we're giving out the gospel. We're giving out the gospel a little bit at a time, planting a little, watering a little. And notice God gave the increase. There's another problem I have with the Baptists, even though they're so zealous. And God blesses their zealousness, and they do get some people saved, and it's good. But they always like to count how many people they got saved, or how many people came to the Lord. And we went to Baptist churches in Brazil, and they'd always come in on Sunday, and they'd say, oh, we went out witnessing, and we had 10 people come to the Lord last night, or 10 people got saved last night. The problem with that is that you don't know whether people got saved or not until later, until you really see if it really took root in their lives. And they made a profession of faith to begin with, but it will be told later whether they actually got saved. But anyway, God gives the increase. And too often that's in the form of bragging. You know, look how great God is using me because I was used to get 10 people saved. But the glory needs to go to God. God gave the increase. God gives the increase. And then verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God gives the increase, and praise the Lord. The glory goes to him and doesn't go to us. And you know, tracts are the most Calvinistic way in the world to witness. The problem with the Baptists, again, is they approach soul winning as a sales thing. And they're using sales techniques to bring people to the Lord. And I was in a soul winning class one time, and the pastor said, when you ask people if they want to come to the Lord, you shake your head. Yes, you want to receive the Lord, don't you? Yes. And you want to get that response. And when they have the big crusades, they have the workers all come in mass going down the aisles at the end during the invitation to get everybody in the mood of going down the aisle. And the thing is, tracks are not like that. Tracks are not high pressure. With the Baptists, they think they have to close on the deal. They have to close. They have to get a decision right now. And so they put big pressure on the people. And the people say yes just to get them off their back. The problem is that the Baptists have even seen is that they get all these people saved. They get 10 people saved yesterday. How many of them were in church on Sunday? Zero. It's extremely rare to see any of them show up in church. Extremely rare. Although, I do remember a while back in Smyrna, there actually was a girl that showed up that had been witnessed to and the pastor told about, and she actually was there in church, and I thought, wow, that is really unusual. But anyway, whether people accept it or whether people don't accept it, we need to give it out. And again, this is the most Calvinistic thing because it has no pressure whatever. People read it on their own, in private, and there's no pressure. And it's just God working on the heart. And so praise the Lord for that. And of course, you know, there's a lot of other ways to witness. And of course, there's witnessing in person. I remember one preacher in Brazil, he used to disparage tracts. And he used to say, you know, I do direct evangelism, not indirect evangelism. And of course, the indirect evangelism was with tracts, but direct was to talk to them. Well, words and tracts, that's talking to people. And that's just as valuable, but of course, talking to people is great too. And we need to do that. And so, but this is very Calvinistic. No pressure, whatever. But you know, here we have, God gives the increase. Now, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we're all out there planting, we're all out there watering, hopefully. But, you know, we had in our call to worship this morning, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And, you know, that's true. And as we give out tracts, God will reward us for it. And as we witness for the Lord, God will reward us for it. As we work for Him, He'll reward us. And you notice here, how are we rewarded here in verse 8? We're not rewarded according to how many converts we got. We're not rewarded according to how many professions of faith we got. We're rewarded according to our labor. According to our labor. And if we labored, if we worked, if we did something for the Lord, to give out the gospel, to work for Him, we'll be rewarded according to our own labor. And then verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And so we're sowing, we're watering, the seed is springing up, and it has a plant, and then it also talks about a building here. The Christians are buildings, and they're being built up. We need to watch how we're building them up, watch how we teach them, watch what we're teaching them, what we teach by our lives or whatever. In verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure what we teach is according to God's word. And so it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And you know, people can only digest so much at a time, I believe. And so that's why it's always planting, watering, teaching line upon line, precept upon precept. I think, you know, we talk about not following men too much, and you know, John Calvin, he was the one that, you know, the Baptists say that we follow, and we don't really follow John Calvin the man, we follow the system of doctrine that he helped to put together, but that was around before him even. But, you know, we don't follow John Calvin, and Calvin had his faults. And I don't follow everything that he ever taught and did. And, you know, he taught basically amillennialism, and I don't follow that, as we know from our Revelation study. Another thing with him, he worked himself to death, it seems. It seems that he was just going, 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 and he died like about 50 years old. And he was completely burnt out. And you know what he was doing? He was preaching to his congregation and to the people there every day of the week. He was just preaching, preaching, preaching. And I look at that, and you know, do you think I don't think the people could absorb all that. They had to digest some of that. I think that was a little bit too much, because it has to be a little bit at a time so people can digest. And that's how it is when we give out the gospel. Tracts and other things, give them a little bit of gospel here and there. And of course, people we work with, people we know, we can give them a little bit of gospel here, a little bit of gospel there, even in our words. And God can use that line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's go back to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we read this in our responsive reading. We won't read the whole thing again. Luke chapter 14, and we have verse 17. Verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And so here people are invited to the marriage supper. They're invited to the Lord here. This is talking about the kingdom of God here. Blessed are those that eat in the kingdom of God. And it's time to go, time to come to the dinner. And notice here he's talking to them that are bidden. Them that are bidden. And a lot of Christians, they believe and they teach that you shouldn't go out to just strangers or just go out and give out tracts to strangers or whatever, because you should concentrate on your contacts. And the contacts are the ones where you're going to have good results. And just giving out the gospel to everybody, you're not going to have much results. But you know, we're not concerned so much with results. We're not concerned so much about whether people come to our church, but whether they come into the kingdom of God. And we want people to come into our church, but we want them more to come into the kingdom of God. And we're out there, it says there in Mark, the verse that they want to get out rid of in the Bible there, along with the end of Mark 16, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Give it to every creature all over the world. Well, what happened here? Those that were bidden, the contacts, they all began to make excuse. They all gave excuses why they couldn't come to the Lord. Why do people give excuses? Well, they give excuses because most of the time that they don't really want to do whatever it is. And you know, I find with people that they find time for things that they really want to find time for. And they do things that they really want to do. But things that they don't really want to do, they don't really want to find time for, we can find a lot of excuses. And that's what we have here. You know, I've preached a sermon about the guy who loves the sports team. You know, he loves the sports team with all of his heart. Well, how many excuses does that guy give for why he doesn't watch the game or why he doesn't go to the game? He doesn't give very many excuses, because there's not very many excuses that can be given, because he loves it with all his heart. And here we have these people making excuse. I have bought a field. I have bought some oxen. I have married a wife. All of those things. And then Jesus says here to go out, and the master says to go out to the poor, the lame, the halt, the blind. Go out and preach the gospel. And of course, that's especially spiritually, the lame, the halt, and the blind spiritually in this parable here. And give out the gospel to them that need the gospel, that are halt, and blind, and lame. And then it says here, verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto him, unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Go out into the highways and hedges. And that's what we need to do. That's what we do this coming Saturday morning. We go out into the highways and hedges. Go out to the strangers, going to every creature. And that's what we need to be involved in doing some. And that's why we give out tracts. We can give out to every creature. And you know, of course, I always love chick tracts, because the saying about chick tracts is they get red. There's a lot of different tracts out there and a lot of good tracts out there. But these are pictures and people get the people's interest. I was at a gas station this past week, gave the clerk, an Indian clerk there, the tract, and he says, oh, it's pictures. And you know, that's good, is that they were interested in it. And so we want to be giving them out. Well, Chick Tracts, I'm on their mailing list, and they like to send out things. It talks about, you're going on vacation. Have fun and serve the Lord too. And give out tracts on your vacation. And on your vacation, and of course, in our daily lives as well, it says, give Chick Tracts to waitresses and cashiers. Give them to cab drivers. Give them to hotel employees, fast food employees. Give them to amusement park attendants. Leave them, without giving them to people, leave them on gas pumps, in restrooms. And restrooms is probably the number one place, because it's in private there, it's good. At rest areas, in restaurants, at ATMs, on bus stops, on store shelves, shopping carts, in bus seat pockets, in the overhead storage compartment, in the glove compartment of rental cars, at motels, on dressers for the maid, even with a little tip maybe, in the Gideon's Bible. That's what I do a lot of time. Put it in the Gideon's Bible when somebody's opening up the Bible. There's one track for them. On ice and vending machines. And of course, you might say, like the lady said last time we went door to door, she says, you're leaving all this trash around here. It's going to get scattered all over the neighborhood. Well, of course, you leave tracts laying around different places. People think that's trash, but it's not trash. It's something very valuable. And it's not in the same category as tracts, as trash. And then while camping, leave it on picnic tables, laundromats, supply stores, restrooms, game rooms. Traveling by plane, leave it in the plane seat pockets, inside magazines, terminals and lounges, luggage pickup area. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And I mean, we don't have to leave them everywhere, but we could leave them somewhere. And it's good. Well, of course, the first rule about giving out tracts, the very first rule is to have them with you. To have them with you. You can't give them out if you don't have them with you. And of course, for men, it's the place to have it is in the shirt pocket. And one of the chick tracts it had in there, the wife was going out buying clothes for the husband, and the demon was whispering to her, buy the one with no pocket, the shirt with no pocket. That way you won't have anywhere to put the tracts. And but you know, always have them with us. Of course, first of all, always have them with us, and then actually give them out sometimes. I've seen people carry tracts around. The tracts are all dog-eared because they've been in the pocket for 10 years. and they never give them out. So the thing is we need to have them with us, and we need to give them out, and we need to make it a habit. Habit is how we do most things in this life. It's hard to remember to do this, and it's hard to remember to do that, but if we make it a habit, it's automatic. And you know, just like a little bit ago, I was down in the restroom in this church, going to the restroom, and automatically when I go in the restroom, my mind has the habit, I leave a tract in the restroom. And then I thought, well, you know, this is a church, I don't need to leave a tract here. But you know, it needs to be a habit. Habit. So it just becomes a habit that we leave it here, we leave it there, and have them with us, and speak to people when we have opportunity. We're supposed to go and sow. And you notice here it says, go out into the highways and hedges. And you remember with Jonah, when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and other places in the Bible, it says, arise and go to Nineveh. You know, you look at that and you think, boy, that's pretty redundant there, arise and go. But the thing is he needed to quit doing what he was doing and get up and go. And we need to go and do it. Do something different than what we normally do. And it's not a matter of that we go through our daily lives, and if somebody comes up to us and asks, how may I be saved, then we tell them. Well, of course, how many people come up to us and ask that? Well, in fact, in my whole life, I've never actually had anybody directly ask it like that. And you know, the thing is, they're not looking for it. God finds people when they're not looking for God. And we need to help them find God. We need to go out and go and sow. Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, we just pray that thou would bless these thoughts to our hearts. Help us to be the Christians that thou would have us to be. And oh Lord, help us to be involved in the Great Commission, even if we are a Calvinist. Oh Lord, help us to go and sow. In Jesus' name, amen.